And one of my favorite talk show hosts is the amazing Sharon Kay.
Man, actually, I'm like, I'm going to start getting like teary-eyed and weepy. I'll be the new weeper of the house. That's a joke.
That's a good one, yeah.
I'll just be the weeper of this house. Anyway, let me say hello to Nashville, all of our wonderful people listening out there, Music City, and of course the global family at WFSK.org. As always, we're totally glad and absolutely delighted that you found us today for the most fast-paced, information-based, uplifting, fortifying, and motivating spot in the area. Of course, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that would be What's the 411. Now, don't you forget, remember that this is the talk show that's at the very center of empowerment and encouragement. To our listeners, whether you know the listeners, that's you guys, yeah. Whether you are trying to build an empire or just plain old trying to inspire, you're on the right frequency for What's the 411. This is your hype and always happy to be in the house host, Sharon Kay, right here at 88.1 FM, WFSK at Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm, the Centennial Merchandise Center.com, and the Metro Human Relations Commission. Thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And today is cold, is what it is, X. I was coming in to work this morning. Did you see like the little flurries and all that?
Yes,
stuff?
I did.
I heard that ting, ting, ting hitting my car. I'm like, hey, I thought we were through with you, sleet. What is this? But it went from no sleet to sleet to rain and then back to nothing. So I'm just all in favor of the nothingness of it. We got to get our forecast in here this afternoon. We have a Jazzy J traffic before,
right.
But before we introduce the guest and all of that, number one, let me start at home. How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Oh, most excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, since we have taken care of the little house business, let's get the weather taken care of first, and then we'll go to tell you exactly what we're going to have on this afternoon, and I know you're going to enjoy the show because we enjoy bringing it to you. Now through about 6 o'clock, there's going to be an area of snow showers moving eastward along the Tennessee-Kentucky line there. These snow showers could possibly produce a dusting for some areas. And if you are living in or going to the Clarksville area, maybe Springfield, Portland, Lafayette, or Salina, you might want to be extra careful out there. Possibly a few slick spots here and there may develop later on this afternoon and this evening, and in particular for the higher elevations. Otherwise, for us, it's going to continue to be cloudy for the rest of today through tonight. We do have a 50% chance for showers off and on here this afternoon and this evening, or it drops or it changes just a bit this evening to about 20%. Now, it will be cold tonight, another nippy night in the Ville. Down to 28 tomorrow. We do see some sunshine in the city, high around 43. And there's these chances of snow and stuff. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, that's not why I moved south, you know. I came here because it used to be warm. Now it's getting to be like everything else. Anyway, we are mostly cloudy, overcast, and 36 degrees in the city. So if you can get home this afternoon, safe and sound on the interstate, you should not have any problems whatsoever. This hour we have a trailblazer, and very excited to have this person as a guest on the show, and of course next hour as well. I just think in terms of two powerful guests, and we're very, very glad this afternoon to have trailblazer and philanthropist Bill Cosby with us, one of America's most prolific comedians of all time. Mr. Cosby has dazzled generations of fans with his comedy routines and also captured on his iconic albums and best-selling books such as Fatherhood and the groundbreaking The Cosby Show. You remember that growing up, I know.
Oh, of course.
I was just me and the kids. We would be stuck there every time it came on. His comedy transcends age, gender, and cultural barriers. And maybe before your time, X, because, you know, you're not old enough to remember I Spy.
I'm more of the picture pages.
Okay, so you heard, yeah.
Picture page.
Well, you ask your mother. She would definitely remember I Spy. And as far as being a trailblazer is concerned, you know, you did not see very many African-Americans on television, not like you do now. And when we did, it was a phenomenon. We would holler, colored, colored, you know, to our parents. So we watched the black and white set. Because to mainstream America is so used to seeing themselves on everything. Well, the rest of us did not get to see that or experience that until later. So it was shows like I Spy that helped us feel more like part of this country. I Spy, becoming the first African-American, Bill Cosby broke those color barriers, racial barriers on television, and we are mighty glad that he did. And I know you know Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. Okay,
oh,
I know that you know. Remember the comic book and the cartoons and
I
all that?
Do.
Remember all that? Okay. And let me see what else. What about the Emmy Award winning Little Bill on
On TV, the cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that too?
I do.
You're old enough. Go ahead, X. I'm getting more proud of you every moment. Now, I know that when you were a teenager, you remember the Cosby Show. Weren't you in high school?
I was in, we'll call it junior high.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This, and one of the things, and I know we need to get to the interview right quick. One of the things that used to kill me back in the day, I can remember the dialogue and discussion that people had, because I was on the air then, doing a talk show, and I was like, I think back on some of the old issues people used to get mad about and upset. It seemed kind of silly. But people were unhappy in our community, African-American, because the family, the Cosby Show family, was a close-knit, upper-class black family. So that was like, they're, you know, being bougie or whatever. And now we long for some type of image other than some of the negative images that we encounter now. Wish that we had some shows like the Cosby Show. Back in the day, people would get upset about just a little bit of anything. That show dominated the number one spot for many, many years, earning unanimous critical praise, and it's still being viewed in syndication. I just watched it a couple of days ago in preparation for today's show. So we are indeed quite honored to welcome to the show trailblazer and philanthropist Bill Cosby. I'm so honored to get this opportunity. You just cannot imagine. I've called my mama and everybody all over the country. Guess what?
Good, good.
And they're, of course, you know, sending their best to you always. Big fans.
Uh-oh, the police coming for you.
Well, and not for me. I've been good.
Okay.
That is, we're across the street from Harry Hospital.
Oh.
Right. You've been here to Fisk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you gave this university some money years ago, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Okay. My wife and I did.
Yes, you did. Long time ago.
And then it didn't take long for you to go broke again.
Well, you didn't, you know, make the check bigger.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, for real. And that's one of the things that most of the HBCUs are going through, experiencing that right now.
Let me just tell you my feelings on all of this.
Okay.
As a people, in this United States of America. We have, because of the treatment towards us, have always felt that we couldn't own, we couldn't have, we couldn't do. And then when you add to it the fact that so many white people helped us, and that we had black people and African American people who did things and made money, but it was sort of kept quiet because then the racists would come along and cause problems. So whoever made the money, it was quiet. And then the historically black colleges continued to do their normal work. You know the word normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know that means just teaching.
Right.
As in teachers, normal. And, or trade and normal. But what happened is that psychologically, we began to develop this within the United States of America feeling of waiting for that helping hand, waiting for someone to donate to help us. And we also developed a feeling that we in ourselves could not thrive on it because of the attack that would come from the racists, and that we would be punished for building things on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So with many things, the sanction of the liberal white had to be given, and that in itself was because white people tend to, even if they disagree with each other, have some sort of behavior with each other so as to comply with the behavior of usual. Now, this problem with so many of our colleges, from where I sit and view and visit and view, is that for so long we have and we are so used to working with each other as victims that so many tentacles of behavior have come. And apathy is in place. It's very deep. It's very, very complex. But we've got to break away from this. We've got to stop this. We've got to understand that it is up to us. We can't just talk about it. Well, here come the white folk, and they're going to integrate the school. Here come the white folk. They're putting pressure on us, and we don't. You look at all of the years that we've been running our schools, and look at the years of presidents coming and going, whether they misused funds or whether they took from one fund to pay for another to keep things going, what I think I see is a need for us to become, I don't mean the word serious, I mean for us to become stimulated and activate ourselves on a national level of blackness, that we will throw aside all game guided by what's best for me, and we will become us. And in becoming, with becoming us, we will donate, we will accept money, we will give to each other, but we will be honest people, because it is not yet time for the criminal mind. Mm-hmm. It is not yet time for the partying mind. It is not time for the talking mind. This is a time for doing. And we must be serious about this, because the lives of our ancestors is buried all over this United States. Mm-hmm. The success of our ancestors. And our children don't know the history, because our apathy allows them to go to school to be taught, and there's no pride being put mm-hmm. on them. It's not in the home. Mm-hmm. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about the people who are in trouble. I'm talking about the schools in trouble. Why is it that by the time our children get to college, that's when they walk in and start taking something called black studies? If you go to your schools there in Tennessee, the public schools, where is the black history taught?
In the black schools.
In the
On February 1st through the 28th, during Black History Month, is about all you get, and then by March 1st, it's over.
But they don't really even teach it then.
Right.
You get some stuff about the story of Bill Cosby, the story of Stevie Wonder, and, you know, some actresses and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Famous people, famous entertainers.
Right.
My point is, we should, in the areas where these children and the families are in trouble, we should bring to them a knowledge of the history of their ancestors, mm-hmm. a knowledge of the history of success. Mm-hmm. Where education guides anyone successfully.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do that with each other, because how can you over and over and over look at Fisk, say, well, you're in trouble, you're out of trouble. You're back in trouble, you're back out of trouble. You're back. But the thing that Fisk does so beautifully and wonderfully goes all the way back to when things were normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that the professors or the teachers who taught, and whatever the building was, whatever dirt floor it was, the lessons that came out, those children were strong. And they came out and they matched up to a woman, to a man of any color from any country in the graduate schools that were integrated. Matched up and graduated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have people, board of trustees, board of this and board of that, and they're all sitting, and just like these public school systems in the areas where these black kids are in trouble,
mm-hmm.
they're acting the same way. Mm-hmm. These are black people in charge of
exactly.
black people.
Exactly.
And it's got to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, in saying what you said, do you think that at some level that black people are ashamed or have become embarrassed or ashamed of themselves so much so that they have no sense of pride anymore?
No, I don't think so. I think if you go back over what I said,
mm-hmm.
and I think you need real psychiatrists who are not afraid to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your program, and you need to have psychiatrists who can really tell you the human mind.
Yes.
The people, not to use it as excuses.
Sure.
But the solid reason.
Right.
When you look at a people, and we had the paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
We had the reasons for success
mm-hmm.
and how to build upon it. Then why would you have the same people on the board of directors and
right.
the board of this and that?
Right.
And
right.
they're just sitting around letting things happen,
mm-hmm.
letting things go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And tied to that is looking for someone to come and rescue again.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and again,
mm.
and then you have all the hooting and hollering and brother this and brother that and people playing games with government officials playing games with the people,
mm-hmm.
people who are supposed to do their jobs in public service,
mm-hmm.
in the social areas, feeling sorry for people, and in feeling sorry for them, not holding people accountable to
right.
do the things that they're supposed to do
exactly.
that will get them out of the rut.
We have to get our Jazzy J traffic report in. Bill Cosby's going to finish laying it down. I mean, for real. Lord, have mercy. Lay it down, son. Go ahead on. Anyway, you're listening to What's the 411 this afternoon. And, of course, as always, we're glad to have our listening audience with us and the global family all the way in the Midwest and those down in the state of Georgia. We thank you for listening at WFSK.org. I hear the helicopter. Jazzy, Jazzy, Jazzy. Is that you, girl?
Yes, Miss Sharon.
Hey, how you doing? See, I conjured you up. I felt it. I said, Jazzy, Jazzy.
Oh, my goodness. I it's good. You know, I'm just crossing my fingers, Miss Sharon, because...
Oh, girl.
Okay, here's why. It's raining.
Okay.
But it's not bad yet.
Yet.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. That's honest.
Right.
I cannot tell a lie.
Listen, I'm just going to hold out for maybe one day it can happen in Nashville.
Aww. I hope I'm there too. But the west side of town is kind of a nightmare right now. We got things going on Hillsborough Pike and Richard Jones Road and Linden Avenue, and then downtown. Second Avenue, starting to back things up a little bit. So if you see that, it just got a vehicle stalled car kind of blocking things. But the rain doesn't affect anything yet badly, it seems. So just be careful, and we'll hope that it turns out for the best. We all hope we never have an auto accident, but if we do, we need a plan. Call Bradshaw Collision Repair Centers for the highest quality repairs. I'm Jazzy J for 88.1 WFSK.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay on WFSK is sponsored in part by the Centennial Merchandise Center.com. The Centennial Merchandise Center.com features gifts, collectibles, home, garden, and seasonal decor to give your home a makeover indoors and out. For more information, visit the Centennial Merchandise Center.com.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Anthropologist, psychologist, psychiatrist, clinical. We've done the whole, constantly delving on that. That's the kind of show this is, by the way. And in saying that, but what you're describing to me now sounds an awful lot like what's going on globally. Not only is this university having financial trouble, seems like the whole globe is right now. We have countries that I never would think that an entire country would be talking about going belly up. Our country is experiencing some of the worst problems it's had since the Great Depression. So this thing that is plaguing the HBCUs is also a global plague. And I guess that would lead to my first question. What do you see as America's most pressing issue?
I don't know. One of the issues, I think, is that we have lost good sense. and I'm aiming at people who are not willing to believe that this problem, all of the problems we're having,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that didn't come with Obama.
Right.
And when people make this as an excuse that this man has done it and it is his fault that he didn't come with the magic wand, you got some silliness going on here. And what we need to do is, as Kennedy said, find out what it is that we can do for our country. And I'm saying that we need to pitch in on each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go into our own problem areas, and we need to look at them, and we need to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many ways, $2, $1.50, 75 cents, send it to Fisk, please, and then let the honest people handle the money,
mm-hmm.
please, and then let the people who know how to spend the money and how to use it, please, so that with sense, Fisk can stand tall instead of leaning and looking sad and people talking about, well, they're getting ready to take the accreditation off, and along with Tennessee State and the problems. We've got to really have a better sense of ourselves, mm-hmm. of when to sober up.
Hmm.
And we need to trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach our children about the value of education and leave Russell Simmons and these wacky, wacky people going off and do whatever cursing and profanity they want to do on
mm-hmm.
record.
Mm-hmm.
But our children need, and no better place than in the South,
mm-hmm.
to know what education means. You're right across the street from Meharry.
Mm-hmm.
You don't graduate from Meharry without signing a piece of paper saying that you promised to go to an area where people are in trouble
mm-hmm.
and do some work there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the most pressing thing is. I just know that for me, looking in the eyes of my people in the neighborhoods I'm going to,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired because the things that sort of made them feel good really are leading them nowhere. As a matter of fact, they haven't led them out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So all whatever this music is that's thumping and people talking like they're big and they're bad and they're going to do this and then take a gun and now we're killing.
Mm-hmm.
Our boys, young boys, are killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Young girls get knocked up and knocked off
mm-hmm.
of the road of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to turn around and pick up the tab
mm-hmm.
on that.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with teaching responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you have pride in yourself, somebody's got to teach you what that's about. We need fathers to come home, and we need fathers and mothers to talk to the daughters
mm-hmm.
because there was a time when daughters controlled the boys. because of the way she was brought up, told him, stop. And because he wanted to come back and be with her again, he stopped. I'm not saying that there never was an illegitimate birth or one out of wedlock. But certainly, with the philosophies that we have today, people keep using an excuse. Well, I can't do nothing with him. Well, that's because you didn't do anything with him in the beginning.
So you're saying, as part of a solution or suggestion on tackling some of these issues that you brought up, start, number one, with the parenting. And there sounds like, to me also, Mr. Cosby, a lot of old-fashioned values to have them reinstilled back in people. And don't forget about the things that we were taught growing up. That would be us old schoolers. Well, maybe we have not passed these things on to yet another generation or two.
Well, let me give you a wonderful example. This 50-year-old guy called me, and we're friends. He's got an 18-year-old son, 16-year-old daughter. So he starts in with, you know, what is wrong with today's youth? I just want to ask you, Dr. Cosby, what is wrong with today's youth? Because I'm looking at my son, and I said, wait a minute. What are you, you're asking me what's wrong with them? He said, that's right. I said, okay, who's the parent? He said, I am. He said, but let me tell you something. See, in my day, my father said to me, I said, stop. You're 50 years old, and you're going to tell me that your father said some things, and your father did this, and your mother did that, and that's why you are what? A man who works to earn a living and all that? He said, yes. I said, so who's raising the two children that you have a problem with? He said, I am. But I said, there's no but. That's on you. That's on you as a parent. You have to think about where you kept your mouth shut. Are you looking at them and hoping that they will like you? Is that what's keeping you from opening your mouth? Are you afraid that you might not have a friend and that you'd like them to be a friend? Because children need to be taught things. Discipline, obedience, and when you have good parents with good old-fashioned, you can call it what you want. But let me tell you something. If you need something to drive a nail, you don't ask how long ago the hammer was invented.
I love it.
That's right.
You don't ask.
No. Well, this is old school.
Yes,
no,
that's why
hammer.
I'm laughing. I'm saying I feel that logic, old school logic.
Sure. Old school for old fashioned. Well, that's old fashioned. Yes, it may be old fashioned. I'm watching you do something new fashioned, and all you're doing is running off the road.
Yeah.
No. You're not going to do that, Russell Simmons. You just want to make some money off of the rap stuff.
Right. So you saying the effects of the music and the television and the videos have, in your opinion and what you've observed, have had a decade or two here of a negative influence on the young people?
I'm saying that the lack of parenting, when people started to hear this stuff and started to question. And it's also with all of this handheld
and I'm texting you and you're texting me, and I got earphones on and can sit in the same room with parents, and I'm not in the room with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, you take great, well, I don't cook anymore. Right, you go get a bag of something, bring it home, mm-hmm. give it to the, and the kid eats out of the bag, or you send the kid to get a bag. There's family. We are not the bears in the woods.
Right.
We are human beings. And certain things go with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the beauty of all of this. I don't care where you live. You could live in the housing project, lower economic. You've got neighbors somewhere. There's some neighbors around there. And their children do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
Their children have their schoolwork done. The school they go to may not be the best. And those, every professor, every dean of admissions knows what I'm talking about. You graduate valedictorian from the Booker T. Washington High School and
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
After they look at your grades, your test scores, they have to put you in remedial everything. So the school is not great, but that child was taught.
Mm-hmm.
The child was given discipline, was given how to behave, with obedience, and they come to college, and even at college they may be knocked off,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
off of the pins, because what goes on in college, they don't parent. But in the old days, that was an extension.
Mm-hmm.
President so-and-so knew your name
mm-hmm.
and said, I want you in my office
mm-hmm.
because you're acting like a fool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is the way we still behave in our black colleges. And I want every graduate who came in and paid at least less than 2/3 of those integrated schools,
mm-hmm.
but could come out with an education that pulled you right up alongside
mm-hmm.
and even ahead. I want all of these graduates to stop saying you don't have it. I want you to go out and borrow a dollar.
Hmm.
Just do it. Just borrow 75 cents for the heck of it, say Bill Cosby said. As long as you do something mm-hmm. to send back to the school
mm-hmm.
that you graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you put 100% of yourself in and studied, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
The school was there, the education affordable, more than better than.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for you to come on, take your Saturday night shot of scotch money,
mm-hmm.
just one shot, I don't know what it costs, take it and give it to the bartender. Say, look, mail this to Fisk.
Mm.
I'm a graduate.
Mm. Mm. That's powerful stuff right there. Cause you
it has to be
yeah.
male and female. See, a part of apathy, also, one of the branches of it is excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Excuses is, well, I don't have it, and it's not going to mean anything. And they, you know, one of the things that's always, it always makes me laugh, is somebody will say, okay, now you give, if you give me some money for it, and the first thing is, what you going to do with that money?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you going to do? So, well, okay, here's what we go. And the people use that as an excuse not to give.
Mm-hmm.
But they will put it someplace on a promissory note.
Mm-hmm.
Something to eat
mm-hmm.
that's not good for you instead of eating the correct thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to drive around in the car? You want to buy some booze? You want to get some blunts?
Hmm.
But this, and I think also to add to what I was saying earlier, you've been rescued so many times. Mm-hmm. After a while, people probably think you're selling wolf tickets. Well, they're going to, yeah, they say they don't have any money, but it's not going to happen. You watch. So we're so used to people riding up and rescuing us.
So is that...
I remember when Mrs. Cosby and I gave the check to the then President Ponder.
Was it as much as the urban rumor says, the urban legend, you know, of course they put probably extra numbers on it. But I mean, you know, I've only been in Nashville since 1986, and I've been hearing about the Bill Cosby check. And then when I really read and asked more about it, it wasn't as big as the urban legend had stated. So
what was the urban legend?
Well, the urban legend was like $20 million.
No, no, no. That is what we gave to set up the Camille Olivia Hanks Cosby building on the property of Spelman.
Okay, so they got their schools mixed up.
Yes.
Okay.
But we gave President a check for $1.2.
Mm-hmm.
President Ponder looked at us and said, "Who told you about this?" And my wife and I said, "Told us about what?" He said, "The state of Tennessee has set up a 2-for-1. And we owe blank to blank. And this check you've given us gives us the right to present it to the state of Tennessee to pick up twice as much as what is on this check. And that will cover what we owe." My wife and I knew nothing about that. But the point is...
That was 25 years ago, right?
I guess.
Okay. Because I think that's why he was here.
And I, in discussing it, heard things like, and they never thought we would come up with it. Now, listen to that carefully. The state of Tennessee says, okay, 2-for-1. We'll give you $2 if you pull one out. Okay, and you owe X. It's not a matter of whether the state thinks as you wink at each other. I'm not talking about Pond and his wife. I'm just talking about people talking in general.
Right.
It is something that somebody laid down.
Right.
And for me, the pride...
Yes,
the
sir.
Black pride
right.
says, go get it.
Exactly.
Do everything you can to raise to get it.
I'm
not talking about, ha, 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 you never thought we would get it. Ha, 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 you never thought you would get it. See, this is the thing. The time that the man, I forget his name, put up the money to give to the NAACP, I believe. And he said, if you raise X, you can get this. And everybody went crazy talking about, that man set us up to fail. No. He may have been joking, but let's go get it.
Right.
Let's have fundraisers. And I'm not talking about bacon, chocolate chip cookies,
right,
and
exactly.
Kool-Aid drinks. I'm talking about let's find ways to work, to take a part of the salary, to take a part of what to give to, so that the next time when people come to us, and whether it's Alabama, Florida, Pennsylvania, and somebody says, I'm going to lay this down, those people know that we're going to come with it. Not where we sit around saying, oh, man, that's a lot of money we have to go get. No, we're going to go get it. See, there's a friend of mine, born, as he says, raised in Louisiana, at a time of segregation. And he told a group of people this story about how when they walked into town, which is owned by the white people, and they went, and there were two fountains to drink water from. One is the white fountain, the other one is the colored fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And that he said the white fountain was all polished, and when you turned the thing, the water came up even. Well, you know, they didn't touch it, but they just watched the white people drink, mm-hmm. and the water came up even, and the grass is cut and everything. You go over to the black fountain, and it's all rusty, and the children turn the thing on. You didn't know if it was going up your nose or in your eye or hit you in the neck.
Mm.
And trash all around it.
Mm.
And that was his point about the segregation.
Mm.
So when it was time for me to get up, and this man is a friend of mine, I said to the crowd, if you all will pardon me, that fountain, and everybody was comfortable
mm-hmm.
with that story of how bad white people are to black people.
Mm.
I said, why didn't you clean it up?
Right, there it is.
And a silence fell across the room.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just let me say this again. Why didn't you clean it up? We've got black men and women who know how to polish things
because
mm-hmm. they work in some of the white people's houses.
That's correct.
Because they have some of their own businesses that they polish things up. You've got black men and black women who own their own whatever, how to fix something, roofing or hammering doors. Why didn't you fix the fountain so the water wouldn't drown the little
mm-hmm.
children?
Mm-hmm.
Now people start chuckling. Now people start talking about, sure, you're right, Bill. There you go, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why didn't you cut the grass around it? And that, if this is what the law is, then the colored fountain is going to shine.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look so good. And if I know racist white people, they will decide that there's not going to be that fountain there. They'll make you take the fountain down.
Because it might look too good.
It will look too good. But they don't have to worry about that because everybody's mind is, well, that's the fountain that they gave us. And
right.
Is everything the children... No.
Right.
You act better than that.
Right. Well, that all has to do with a sense of pride. You know, you take pride in you. My father always taught me to take pride in my work and things that I do, because it does tell off on you. And I think
it must not exist,
right?
In some of these areas, because you get somebody like a Michael Eric Dyson telling people, you know, Bill Cosby does not like poor people. I love people, but I know that education should not be talked about in the manner which some people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bother with education. Nobody's going to give you anything. That's not the United States of America.
Hmm.
You don't make a contract with people saying, okay, give me my diploma and then I will study.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
Hmm.
No.
Hmm.
And we've got to pump and build ourselves up. We've got to go back and understand who we were and what drove it.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell Simmons and people like that don't want us going back to it. So they tell young people, don't listen to old people.
Mm.
First thing out of some young fella's mouth with a microphone is, well, you know, you got problems and old people don't listen to us and we don't listen to old. You know, hey, man, generally an old person will tell you something about where the road is out, where the bridge has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, a younger person wanting to go in that direction doesn't want to hear it. But it doesn't mean that you never listen to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about drugs, profanity, lack of want to get an education and then wind up not being able to sufficiently function
mm-hmm.
as an educated person. so that you have to go take a job that's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for whatever it is, everybody says you got to have at least a GED.
Right.
Now, if functionally you can't even read enough well enough, and you stopped your education because you didn't get the parenting, and that was something that your parents didn't believe in,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because they were too busy partying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are organizations that will, if you come to them, help you. Community college, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to go. People are not going to come to your house and get you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you wind up in prison. You get out of prison, you don't know how to do anything.
Hmm.
And you don't feel like doing anything. So you become this albatross
mm-hmm.
on your family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go get your GED. Talk to the people at community college. There are jobs that will not slam the door in your face
mm-hmm.
because you once did time in prison.
Right.
Talk to people there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've got to ask you this because I know that you are a all over the country and speaking and doing concerts, et cetera, because you'll be here in Nashville January 15th, two shows at TPAC, and we're very excited about having you come back to the city. If you could sometime.
Now, this is to do the comedy.
Right,
not
to do the serious stuff, right?
What you
yeah,
and
I know. And I'm
no, gonna... but the people may not know.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
you're
so
coming
to
tell jokes.
Tickets for laughter.
Right, they're coming. You're coming to tell jokes and be the funny man.
That now you got it.
Okay.
See, I knew you was cute. And
yes, I am. And I'm a grandma, so I'm extra sweet. In saying that, Mr. Cosby, if you could spend just some time, you may have already done this, just, you know, at the fireplace with President Obama and just, you know, you and President just chatting. What advice or subject matter would you talk to him about first and second as, you know, significant, like man to man or father to father?
I would first of all tell him that he's got to believe in the strength that is given to him by this office. I would tell him that I think he has shown in every way that he wanted to be a more than fair person towards any adversary. But now's the time to tighten up your game. And now is the time to not be afraid. You walk out there and you do what's best for the people. And then I would tell him to take about 6 hours to sit down with that wonderful family of his and the wonderful First Lady and have them run about 3 hours of his speeches when he was campaigning. And listen to himself and look at himself and then shut down and talk with his wife only about who he is, what he promised, and what he is going to do. Because the two of them, you can't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They are two honest people. And they're very bright.
Mm-hmm.
And now they just need to put a little etouffee in something. And then I would tell him that as far as I'm concerned, I will be out here as a foot soldier visiting neighborhoods where the people are in trouble
mm-hmm.
with education, are in trouble with the way their minds work and how they think, what they're getting away with. And I want to tell him that as a foot soldier, I am asking the people with the guns in the neighborhood, the people with the bad behavior, robbing, stealing in the neighborhood, the gangs that are on and against each other because they didn't get love in the home. I'm asking all of them and others for safe passage. Safe passage for their children, the children they've made. Safe passage for their parents that they may know and may not know. Safe passage for the elders. Safe passage for our children to be able to skip rope on the sidewalk without worrying about a stray bullet from some boys wanting to shoot each other for the drugs or for lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
Safe passage for elders. They can walk and stand as tall as they can to go to the pharmacy to get their medication and not worry about being hit in the head and robbed. Safe passage for respect. Safe passage. Safe passage. And for our children not to make fun of other children because the other children are studying. It's not a myth. The safe passage. It's something that we need to ask for. And it's something we need to walk and show that this works.
Right.
And then we need to go, I would tell the president, I'm going to the schools. I'm going to talk to the superintendent because there are ways to make these schools work. Arnie doesn't have to put out $82 billion dollars or promise that it's coming and nobody can see it yet. I'm not waiting. I'm going now.
Mr. Cosby, I'm looking at the clock and I know I'm out of time. And I.
Yes, you is.
I know. And, you know, I love you. I want you to know how deeply honored we are to have had your time with us today on this program, on this radio station, on this historic campus. We greatly appreciate all that you have done for us here at Fisk University and ask God to continue to bless and keep you and your family. We are looking forward to you being on the stage in Nashville to be Bill Cosby, the funny man. In January, I know that in two shows, and I know that there's a good buzz out there about you coming, and people are very much looking forward to having you back in Nashville. So in advance of you getting here, welcome to Nashville in advance.
I appreciate it.
And we thank you and ask God to bless and keep you always.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm sure God will do that. But I need the people to begin to look after themselves. Come on, people. And you know you can do it. There's no reason, no logical reason. There's a lot of excuses, but no reason for Fisk to be in financial trouble, for Tennessee State to be in financial trouble. We are in charge of ourselves. And, of course, there's an old saying in the Bible, God helps
those who help themselves.
And the church gets very quiet whenever I get to that part.
Oh, I am so sure. I'm so sure. We're surrounded by churches over here, you know.
Oh, yes. But when it comes to help.
Yes.
See, it's this, and you and I are talking around that time of year, this time of year now, when people feel so good about giving to each other.
Sure.
And that's something that we have to teach our young kids.
Absolutely.
I remember one time this little girl, somebody gave her two Christmas trees. This is a true story. Somebody had two Christmas trees, the story is, and the gentleman living in the the kind of housing subsidized. He was given two trees, so he gave a tree to a neighbor who wasn't doing well. This is a woman with three children. And she's on food stamps and things. True story. So when I heard about this, I said to the person who told me, I said, look, here's $10. Put $10 in the envelope and give it to the oldest girl who's a recipient of the Christmas tree, and tell her to, when she goes to school on Monday, to find a kid that she knows who is worse off than she is and give that kid that envelope. And the next time I saw the person who gave, I gave the $10 to, I said, how did that work out? And the woman said, well, I had to do a little bit of work on her. I said, what do you mean? She said, look, because you received this tree, here's $10, and then I want you to find a child that you know whose uniform is full of stains and whatnot and may not smell too good because there's no soap and things like that at home. And she said, well, how much is it? I said, $10. She said, and the girl who's supposed to give the $10 looked at her and said, well, I'm disadvantaged too. So she said she had to teach this girl not the good that would come back, but that the good that was already in her. See, the girl didn't know about giving back. She didn't know about the feeling of it. And I'm asking all within the ear of this program, Safe Passage, talk about it to the young boys and girls that you know who need to hear very softly that you're asking for safe passage so that their children can skip rope in the street or whatever on the sidewalk, can walk, and we don't ever have to hear again about some child who's paralyzed for life or who is dead and no longer can be active on the road of life. I'll see you, kid.
Thank you so much. And we look forward to it in Nashville.
Nashville.
Yes, sir.
I'm coming.
Y'all heard that now, you hear?
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Mr. Cosby.
Oh, man, I'm ready for the benediction now. Maria. Wow, X. Okay.
Yeah, he was something else.
I'm just saying, I don't think anybody was left out. So there they whoop, there it is. All I know is the phone was straight ringing, wasn't it?
All hour.
Yes, it was.
That's right.
It truly was. So no benediction just yet. That was just the first hour of the program. While some of you shuffle around and hit the refresh button and reload and all that stuff, we're coming back with Dr. Miles Monroe. Get our heads right in 2011. Bill Cosby helped us get our start to getting our heads right in 2011, and he'll be in Nashville on January 15th, and two shows at 4 and 8 p.m. for the jokes. Okay, that was the serious side. That was the community man, husband, daddy thing. So he's doing the jokes. He's doing the funny ha-has. Two shows, January 15th. Get your laugh on, Jackson Hall T-Pack. So we thank Mr. Cosby and his management for helping us get this together today. Coming up in just a second, we're going to have our afternoon news, and you'll be getting your take you home traffic reports, Jazzy J style. Coming back with our guest Miles Monroe and the book The Purpose and Power of Authority, Discovering the Power of Your Personal Domain.
as we put our minds in this set for 2011, keys to activating your inner authority in 2011. Take the time out, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.